The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the ESPYs red carpet.
So a lot of famous people out here. I try my best to be fly.
Another win in L.A.
What can I say? I'm the best in your face. Good night. Good night, everybody.
All right, so as we look forward to the ESPYs, you know, we talk a lot about Dan Orlovsky and the controversial takes that he sometimes offers on this show and NFL Live. But perhaps none has ever resonated quite like this one. A tweet from over the weekend in which Dan tweets, as you see, red wine, all kinds, should be drank chilled with ice cubes in it. The reaction to this has been understandably overwhelming. And so, Dan, if I could, I'll bring everyone in a little bit here for some reaction. Dan, can you explain that take?
Yeah, easily. So I like red wine.
No, you don't.
Now, the reason why I like it chilled is the only thing that should be drank at room temperature. I didn't hear that. The only thing that should be drank at room temperature is water. Just drink water at room temperature. I like red wine, but like, why do I have to drink it warm? And for everybody that's sitting there telling me, well, that means you haven't had really good wine. No, I don't drink $150 bottles of wine every night. So I drink good wine, not great wine. So I want to enhance that wine a little bit. Chill it and put a little ice. It's much more enjoyable.
Right. It's, for the record, it's not a soda, but okay. Diana, go ahead. What is your take on this?
I feel like I can go in so many different directions here. I can go with just, well, it's not sangria, right? It's supposed to be enjoyed with a meal, and a sangria has like a different taste.
Red wine.
But My first thought when I read it was, gosh, that is the exact way I would describe Dan's style of play. Watered down wine with ice cubes.
Oh, no.
And then I thought that was a little too mean.
Oh, you're kidding. I had no idea that we were going there. Holy smoke, she came out blazing.
It depends on the bottle.
What you have just witnessed.
It depends on the bottle. Down bottle of Stag's Leap.
That was a tough
one. And Dan,
one.
I would throw this back. You have aged like a fine wine over the years.
Okay.
And look at you now. So the joke's on me.
Okay, fair enough. We redeemed ourselves. And with that, we bring you back to
Don't
another
kiss my
hour
of Get now.
Up. We are live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Something else you should not be drinking with ice, but that's a whole other conversation for a whole other time. Fridell is in the house. We are jam-packed. Let's roll this thing, Sydney, for hour number two, because it is time to get up with a Hollywood shocker. We've got a sequel to the season's biggest flop. Can this possibly work? We will dive in just a moment. Meanwhile, we have huge news for Tampa Tom. It comes from a very unlikely place, but you know what? It just might win him the Super Bowl. You'll hear it coming up. Plus, the D in Big D stands for diminished. Why the concerns for the Cowboys at camp may never have been greater than they are right now. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now with the action from last night. Oh, it was hot in L.A. last night. Home run derby, the stars were out, and the biggest star of them all, Albert Pujols, being honored by all the other stars, mobbing him at home plate after his initial round as the eighth seed, going up against the one seed, Kyle Schwarber. And it was Pujols who got red hot at the very finish and winds up with 20 and a win. The respect from Schwarber as it's Pujols who advances to round two. Then that is Julio Rodriguez. He crushed 32 home runs in round one. Then he's taken on the two-time defending champ Pete Alonso in the semis. Julio got hot again, 31 in the second round. 63 home runs through the first two, and down goes the polar bear. Then it's Juan Soto. What a week he's having. He's taken on Pujols in the semifinals. Bonus time. Soto, that one's not coming back. 16, 15, Soto. Soto eliminates the legend. So it's Soto and Rodriguez in the championship round. All eyes and the tension mounting. Now here we go. Rodriguez, he's up first, and he gets hot in his extra time. Hits a few in a row there to bring the total to 16. Finishes with 18. So that is the number to beat. Soto looking to put up 19 and a trophy early in the extra time. Crushing several in a row. He pulls even with that blast. And so Soto now just one away from a championship. With time winding down, that one is deep to right field. He doesn't even realize he's won. He's still in the moment. But then the celebration begins. 19-18. Soto is your champion. Ken Griffey Jr. there to present the trophy. Soto, the second youngest player ever to win the Home Run Derby. Get a load of this. He's 23 years and 266 days old, which is exactly one day older than Juan Gonzalez was when he won the Derby in 93. Remember, Soto turned down a 15-year, $440 million contract on Saturday. He's eligible to become a free agent after the 2024 season, so it has been quite a week for that young baseball superstar. Meanwhile, it's been quite a month in the NBA. Let's try and sort out the very latest, because we may be heading now towards a Hollywood sequel. According to Yahoo Sports, the Lakers' big three of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook huddled for a phone conversation recently to confirm their commitment to each other through all of the uncertainty. And that uncertainty, of course, includes the very disappointing season they just had and all the conversation about the possibility of Russell Westbrook being traded, I don't know, any minute now, perhaps for Kyrie Irving, perhaps for others. Zach Lowe is there and Nick Friedell is here. What do we make of these three guys getting together on the phone and pledging to find a way to make it work?
Not much. Greedy, that commitment's not worth a damn. Because they would trade Russell Westbrook today if they could and get that contract off the books. The reality for this Laker team is they're just not good enough as currently constructed. With LeBron, it's always supposed to be about titles. It's always supposed to be about the next one. What we saw last season is the way these guys play together when they are healthy on the floor isn't that of a top caliber team. And I can't believe, given all the issues that Kyrie had in Brooklyn, that I'm about to say this, but the Lakers need Kyrie. If you want talent and you want to raise everybody else up with the group that you have in place, he gives you something different, a different look. If not, they're just running in place. So this commitment to each other doesn't mean much to me at all.
Yeah, Zach, I mean, I think he's framing it as Kyrie or bust, and candidly, I agree. Is that the sentiment right now around the league about the Lakers' chances going forward?
Yeah, and it's Kyrie or bust simply because, I mean, rarely do you see a player of Kyrie Irving's caliber and talent sort of linked to just one team, but there does seem to be a perfect storm of circumstances where there's no larger market for him and the Lakers are the team desperate enough to get him. And I do agree that the team, the Lakers as presently constructed, cannot win the championship, have very little championship equity. The Lakers with Kyrie Irving, look, they would still have depth issues, but their big three would at least give them a puncher's chance. And when you have LeBron James in your prime, you have to give yourself a puncher's chance. I don't think there's any in-between solution. Any other player between Russ and Kyrie, whether it's Buddy Hield or Eric Gordon or whoever, that closes the gap. And I want to finish with one very important point here. Dan Orlovsky is getting trashed on this show for a take that is not nearly as outrageous as you all think it is. Chilled red wine, huge thumbs up. He loses me at the ice cubes, but someone has to defend Dan Orlovsky because chilled red wine is good. The ice cubes are just a bridge too far.
Okay, so let me just make a very quick note to cancel that dinner I have with Zach and Dan coming together at any point, because that just became a far less attractive option. But let's stay in the moment if we can. Zach, I appreciate you going there, but let's stay in the moment if we can, because I want to come back to the possibility with the Lakers and Kyrie here. Do they control that, Zach? What I'm trying to figure out, and I had Woj in here yesterday, do the Lakers actually control that situation?
I think to some degree they do. Look, Russ for Kyrie straight up is not going to happen. Russ makes way more money. The Nets have a tax issue. Kyrie on talent alone and fit alone is way more valuable. What the Lakers control is what they add to sweeten the pot. They have two first-round draft picks they can offer, 2027 and 2029. LeBron does not care about those draft picks at all. He cares about this season. I can understand the Lakers wringing their hands and losing sleep over offering both of them. That's your whole future. That's all you got left. But you absolutely have to put in one, because if you're not willing to risk one of those to contend this year, what are you even doing with LeBron James on your team?
Fridell, you are my new friend here, and so I'm about to make you do something that all reporters hate, and that is guess. Is it your expectation that by the time training camp rolls around, Kyrie Irving will be a Laker?
My guess is yes, Greeny, because Brooklyn knows that if you try to run back all the drama that happened last season into this year, you're torpedoing yourself at the beginning. I cannot tell you how many times people in that Nets organization, whether it was stuff Kyrie did on the floor or stuff he said off of it, would go in and just shake their head and be like, I just cannot believe this. If you are Sean Marks, Brooklyn's GM, and you go out of your way and you say at your press conference, we want guys who want to be here, we need to get our culture back, and then you run Kyrie back into training camp and into the season, oh, good luck to you.
We'll see what happens. Nick Fridell, awesome. Zach, get yourself a Pinot Noir. We'll check in a little bit later as we continue. I've got big football news here. I've actually got two pieces of news coming out of Tampa. The first is this, and it's not very good, and that is that the Buccaneers running back Leonard Fournette has reportedly drawn the ire of his coaches because he's gained considerable weight this offseason. He's listed at 228 pounds. He weighed in about 30 pounds heavier than that during mandatory minicamp. That's according to Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. So that's bad news. But it is being completely eclipsed by this sneaky big news. Rob Gronkowski's girlfriend is the model Camille Kostak, and she was at the Sports Illustrated swimsuit event. And they asked her about Gronk's retirement. And look what she said. Quote, I'm an honest lady, and honestly, in my heart, I don't feel like this one is a forever one. So I think maybe he'll come back again. Diana Rossini, and look, the Booger Man is with us this morning. Booger McFarland gets up with us early here today. But Diana, let me start quickly with you on this. I've heard so many people say, no, this time it's for real. This time Gronk is stepping away. Here's his girlfriend. That's a pretty good source. What do we think?
Yeah, I know. So much for my theory last week with you when I said it's baby Gronk time, right? Because if Camille is saying, look, maybe there's a shot, then I think they're putting that to the side for a minute here. And everyone I have spoken with in Tampa over the last week or so, since this news really started to pick up steam, Rob Gronkowski telling our Mike Reese, yeah, I'm done. And Mike Reese has covered him for years, and he knows him very well. And he even said, the door's shut. It sounds like this is really it. But Tampa Bay sources tell me they're also in the Mike Reese camp there. That was the read on the situation for them. And there was always that small, small chance that Tampa was going to leave the door open in case during the season, if the Bucs went on a run and all of a sudden Gronk starts feeling a little bit better and Brady makes the call, that he could come back. But his health, Greeny, that is the true reason I was told as to why Gronk is hanging it up. It's his health. He is not 100%. So until he can get healthy, then maybe we can come back to the conversation.
Fair enough. But I mean, Booger, I want you just to sort of let this number sink in for a moment here. I can't emphasize it enough. These are the stats since Brady and Gronk got to Tampa together. In the red zone, with Gronk on the field, Brady has 48 touchdowns and zero picks. So, Booger, with that context in mind, how important is this decision? How would you describe the significance for Brady's chances of winning another championship, of having Gronk back at some point this year?
Well, Greeny, first of all, greetings. I hope your golf game is well. Dan, your wine take is trash. Diana, I hope the little man is doing well. I hope everybody's summer is going great. Greeny, to your point about Rob Gronkowski, and I think Dan said it in the first hour, he is a huge part. His ability to catch the football, more importantly, his ability to block was outstanding last year. And so, yeah, it would be really, really good if he came back. However, Greeny, think about this. No team is the same year to year. So this Bucs team was always going to be different this year. You got a new head coach. We all know about Godwin, who's not going to be back until probably late November, early December. But here's the thing. We're talking about all the negatives. What about the positives? I think this defense is going to be better this year. You draft Logan Hall. You bring in Akeem Hicks, who, in my opinion, is an upgrade over Ndamukong Suh. Yeah, Shaq Barrett is a question. Can he get back to what he was a couple of years ago? That's yet to be seen. But this secondary is going to be a lot healthier. And so I think this defense, who didn't play well last year, is going to go back to what they were 2 years ago. So, yeah, the team may not be the same. It may not look the same. But I do think this team has a chance to be a viable Super Bowl contender. It's just going to look a little differently, at least until they get Chris Godwin back in late December, maybe January.
And, Danny, to that point, you said earlier, you think for them to get there, Brady has to be MVP caliber this year, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for them to get back to that NFC title, Brady's got to be the MVP. I really believe that this football team is very similar to the one that we saw get pretty beat up by the Rams in the playoffs last year than the one that won the Super Bowl 2 years ago. Like, Gronk's great. All-timer. And I know we talk about the statistics, the 48 touchdowns, the interceptions, the red zone. The number one reason why the Bucs have had the offense that they have had in the NFL the past 2 years, which is scoring 30 points per game, which do that over the last 2 years, line continuity. 40% of that offensive line is gone. Your guards are gone. And for people to pretend like it'd be a big deal is outrageous. Because they're healthier.
You know, unfortunately,
but Brady's going to have to play again out of this world.
As we can all see, obviously we're having a little trouble with Dan's signal, such as TV in 2022, folks. We'll do our best to get that thing worked out one way or another. It is not a punishment for the red wine take. As we continue in a moment, the D in Big D stands for diminished. Why the concerns for the Cowboys at camp may never have been greater than they are right now. Plus, the owners of the Warriors with a warning for the rest of the NBA. You'll hear what it is, and you'll hear what Jalen Rose thinks it means when he joins us live as we work our way forward. Busy morning. Get up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
We are back, and we're going back to Dan Orlovsky here. Tuesday, Dan, with some very interesting takes in hour number one. Let's hear what they are here as we prepare. Training camps are starting to open all across the country here. Give us three observations as only you can. Danny, go.
I'm going to go west, San Francisco. I know the conversation has been about Jimmy Garoppolo. Trey Lance is their starting quarterback no matter what, in my opinion. You give up 3 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick for a quarterback. Eventually, you got to get him on the field, especially a guy in Trey Lance who had the least amount of college attempts for a quarterback drafted in the first round in the last 50 years of the NFL draft. Trey Lance is their starting quarterback. The Dolphins are a lot closer to the Buffalo Bills than people think, and certainly those people mostly are in New England. This is a team that was 9-8 last year and had 4 losses by 3 points or less. They brought in a receiver who has 240 catches, 2,500 yards, and 24 touchdowns, in the last 2 years and the best left tackle in football. The Dolphins are going to be a really, really good football team. And then we could go down to the Dallas Cowboys, Greeny. I think the Cowboys are going to sit here in training camp and go, uh-oh, we overestimated our perimeter players, mainly our wide receivers. Last year in the playoff game, Dak Prescott was 13 of 26 throwing to wide receivers. That was with Amari Cooper. He is no longer there. Their number one, CeeDee Lamb, has drop issues. The number two, Michael Gallup, has coming off of the ACL surgery. He's going to miss at least 3 or 4 games. And the number three, Jalen Tolbert, who they drafted in the third round from South Alabama, didn't get to do a lot in the springtime because of injury to his hamstring. I think this football team's going to look back and go, we're not as good on the perimeter as we thought we were.
Well, that's a really interesting thought there. And Booger, let me come to you on that, because as we look at the Cowboys, they were really ready to go last year. It felt like last year was the confluence of circumstances, in particular in the division, that was their shot. And to Dan's point, they let it get away in that terrible playoff loss to San Francisco. Do you share his concern about what they bring back this year from an offensive weapon standpoint?
Yeah, Greeny, there's always going to be some concern when you have to project on what people are going to do with Michael Gallup and Schultz and the offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott. Has he really gotten in shape? But here's what I go by, Greeny, is that I remember sitting in Tampa and watching the Cowboys and Buccaneers play here in Tampa last year. And Dak Prescott was the best player on the field. I mean, and that was with Brady and all the other guys. Dak Prescott was the best guy on that field that night. And I remember coming on and watching television the next day, and you were like, that guy right there, Dak Prescott, he was awesome, and he deserves to be in the MVP conversation. But what happened, Green, is throughout the season, I don't know whether it was the calf injury or whether something else got in his mind, he didn't play the same. He didn't use his athleticism to be elusive and to make plays the way we've seen Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes make. I think we're going to see that Dak Prescott we saw in the opener more this year. Yeah, Danny, there are some concerns with the weapons, especially when guys are unproven. But I know who is proven, and I think Dak Prescott is one of the best quarterbacks in football, and we spend a lot of time trashing that young man's name. He's going to show a lot of people this year that the guy we saw in the opener last year, we're going to see him more consistently.
I think that's really the big question. I would phrase it as questioning it rather than trashing it. Can he do it consistently? Let's see, because you're right. That opening night, that's opening right. Thursday that you're talking about. Let me get Diana in here quickly. Diana, what are your expectations from the Cowboys from an offensive standpoint?
Well, let's just start with, I had a conversation with Dak Prescott about his mentality going into the season compared to what we saw last year. And look, last year he couldn't really divulge that he was dealing with some mental setbacks, dealing with that injury, that his offseason wasn't focused on the actual act of quarterbacking. It was rehabbing mixed with some football, right? So think about this now. He's had an offseason where all he's doing is playing quarterback, right? All in from the head. In his head, his physical makeup of it all, it's all just about playing the game of football. So already there is a weight off his shoulders. Tony Romo recently also shared that he truly believes that this Dallas offense is going to try to kind of go back to what they did in 2016, 2017. That was when Zeke really took off as their number one back. Is Zeke the same guy? No. But they've got Tony Pollard now as another weapon there that they can use both of them. So while I do think you see the headline, no more Amari Cooper, and it seems like they lost a lot of weapons, when you really dig deep here, they didn't really lose that much. Dak just needs to be the guy this year.
Dan, give me a quick final thought, Danny.
I think Dak needs to be a lot more than the guy. This is a football team that lost Cedric Wilson, Amari Cooper, Lyle Collins, and Connor Williams offensively. He's going to have to, and I'll use Charles Barkley's line when he talked about it with Kevin Durant this year. He's going to have to be the bus driver. And I don't know if we've, you know what, I do. We have not seen him be the bus driver at the biggest moments in the toughest games when they matter the most. For them to go to the NFC title game, he got to be that guy.
I agree with that. It's a question. We'll see what the answer comes back. In the meantime, Booger, I need you to see this. All right? This is Get Your Eyes Checked. It's brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. This is A.J. Dillon. And that is the mascot.
Oh, my word.
Of the Kenosha Kingfish. What is your reaction to that?
Well, first of all, Greeny, if I'm the mascot, I'm going to sue. Then number two, if you're dealing, like, how can you do that poor young man? That man has a family. My goodness.
My question is, what do you think they told the guy in the mascot suit they were going to do? Because there's no way in the world they could have told him this was the plan and he agreed to it, right?
You know what they told him, Greeny? Hey, we're going to go out here and do something fun for the fans. You're going to lay on your back. You're going to hear a whistle. And when you get up, pretend like you're going to tackle Dylan. It just didn't go that way. I promise you, that's not the way he envisioned it.
Okay, we have been assured that there was no one injured in all of this, and thus it is just as funny as you think it is. As we continue in just a moment, we'll tell you why it's looking more and more likely that we will see a Hollywood sequel with the Lakers. LeBron, AD, Russ, are they going to run it back? We'll ask Jalen Rose what he thinks that would look like when he joins us next. Let's get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up with this really interesting news, a story on Yahoo Sports that the Lakers' big three, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Russell Westbrook, recently huddled for a phone conversation to confirm their commitment to each other through what I think can be loosely described as uncertainty surrounding their circumstances, maybe more specifically described as the possibility that Westbrook could get traded pretty much any minute now. Let's dive into this and a whole lot more. The one, the only, Jalen Rose gets up with us this morning, and Zach Lowe continues with us as well. Jay, what was your when you saw this, conversation, if those three guys got together and said, look, let's try and figure out a way to make this thing work, what's your reaction to that?
Well, it got messy when it started to become public. A lot of times, Greeny, there are things that happen in the locker room between players, and when it's the off season, you could kind of put it in idle and deal with it once training camp starts. But when you're a high-profile franchise like the Los Angeles Lakers, you have one of the greatest players of all time is in LeBron James, and you have Russell Westbrook, and it's the master of the obvious. They can move Russell Westbrook at any moment if they get a deal that they like. They're also going to need Anthony Davis to stay healthy. But until then, you can't have LeBron James and Russell Westbrook both at a Lakers Summer League game and the entire world see them not speak. That's when it starts to go too far. And we understand that the Lakers are trying to do whatever they can to get Kyrie. But both of all three of these guys are still under contract. So you get on the phone and you just acknowledge, hey guys, we got it kind of good. They paying us like $40 million to play basketball. And we got to be professionals here. If something happens, then we move accordingly. That's really what it's all about. But ultimately, I believe this is why you bring in Darvin Ham. The person that he's going to challenge the most is going to actually be Anthony Davis. It's one thing for him to be healthy. It's another thing for him to be dominant. And if LeBron plays the way he did last year, and AD plays like a top 10 player, the Lakers will ascend in the West.
Well, you've made that point a lot. And for the record, for those who don't know, Darvin Ham was an assistant in Milwaukee the last few years. And you and others have credited him with going a long way towards helping Giannis in his development. So there's a big piece of that. So, Zach, let's then live quickly in a world where those three guys do come back and they make some of the other moves that Woj was talking about yesterday, some of the other pieces they may bring in. What's the ceiling for that team? What could they do, best case scenario?
Well, some of the pieces they could bring in are in exchange for Russell Westbrook, even Buddy Hield or Eric Gordon. So to Jalen's point, none of this matters if Anthony Davis doesn't reclaim his spot as a top 10 NBA player. If we don't see that, then all this discussion, Kyrie, Russ, whoever, it goes up in smoke. It doesn't matter. This team, as it's constructed now with this big three, if we get that Anthony Davis, could be a solid playoff team. I don't think the Russ fit is nearly good enough for them to contend. I don't think the supporting cast beyond those three is quite good enough for them to contend with the very best teams in the West. So I think that's their ceiling. As long as they have Russ, AD, and LeBron and this supporting cast, this team is a non-contender. And to me, that's not acceptable if I have LeBron James on my team at age 37.
I think that's fair. All right, Jalen, let's switch topics here. Let's go to a bunch of different things. I want to get your takes on a few things. Let's play a little game of what if, okay, Jay? Okay. Let's start with this. What if KD and Kyrie stay together in Brooklyn? What if that happens?
They have a legitimate chance to win the East. Let me say that again for the people in the back. They have a legitimate chance to win the East. Hey, Brooklyn, Greeny, you heard me say this also before. Mm-hmm. Don't panic. I feel like when James Harden quit on the team, they panicked and moved him. I would have had all three of those guys play at least one playoff series together. Since that didn't happen, you moved him for Ben Simmons. I got to ask a second question, Zach. Get low. Get low. How did he pass a physical? How did Ben Simmons pass a physical? But with that being said, KD just saw the Golden State Warriors win the championship. He's going to be as motivated as any player in the league to come back this year and be dominant. Don't rush Brooklyn. You still have KD for four more years.
The next stop would be the potential of Miami. If KD winds up in Miami, and Nick Friedell has been singing about that ever since I started having him on a couple of weeks ago, Jay, if he finds himself down there, what could happen then?
The league is in trouble because the greatness of KD now gets elevated with the best coach in the NBA other than, I'm going to give props to Coach Pop. I want to give props to Coach Kerr. But beyond those two guys, I feel like the best coaches are Eric Spoelstra and Tyronn Lue. So to put KD with that group of leadership, and now all of a sudden the hunger that he has for a franchise that has won championships before he got there in the Miami Heat, I think this would be a great opportunity for him to further his career.
All right, and then finally, let's go to what I think would be like the NBA's version of DEFCON 5. What if he winds up, or won, whatever the big one is, what if KD winds up with Steph Curry back in Golden State? Then what?
KD's going to get a lot of slander. That's what's going to happen. And the one thing about the Golden State Warriors, it was great to see them win a championship before he arrived. It was awesome to see them win two when he got there. But things changed in this relationship, Greeny, when they won without him. And if he goes back to the Golden State Warriors, everybody's going to look at that as a boost to the legacy of Steph Curry, not to the boost to the legacy of Kevin Durant.
I think that's right. Speaking of the Warriors, by the way, I want you guys to hear what the team's owner, Joe Lacob, had to say about Steph Curry. This was on the Point Forward podcast.
He's got a number of years to go.
Yes.
And we were right. We did. We won. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, amazingly. And I think we're going to be, you know, hopefully better next year. These young guys will be better.
Yep.
Steph's still got it. I don't think see him going off. You know, I'm sorry to say for the rest of the league. I don't see him getting any worse.
Yeah, he's aging.
You never know.
Yeah, he's aging like wine. It's crazy.
He is.
Yeah.
The guy is so well-conditioned. It's unbelievable.
So it does bring up an interesting question. I mean, Jalen, you and I were sitting there for all of that run as they win a championship. Should they be better next year? Should they just keep this group together with all these young players and not even be thinking about making some kind of big deal like that?
Absolutely. And here's why. Klay Thompson's going to be better. Remember, he had two consecutive years where he dealt with injuries. So he's just going to be a better player. But what they did is something that the Lakers could never do, and that's actually be patient enough to build out a roster through the draft. Injuries allowed this Golden State Warriors dynasty to get built. When Steph was earlier in his career and he dealt with injuries, he didn't have to necessarily get paid top dollar. So therefore, they built out their roster and they were strengthened numbers and they won championships. When Klay got injured, when KD got injured, they went to the draft. You take Poole and all of a sudden, he goes to the G League and becomes a player. You draft Kuminga, he's gonna get more minutes. They took Wiseman very high in the draft and he didn't even contribute this year to their playoff run. You expect all three of those guys to be contributors also going forward. You bring back Draymond Green. Wiggins continued to ascend and make a name for himself as he started in the All-Star game last year. The West is in trouble. I agree with their owner. The Golden State Warriors will be better next year.
Zach, Warriors better next year? Best team in the West?
I don't know if they're the best team. I think the Clippers might start a little bit ahead of them, but they're right there. And yes, they will be better. And Jalen nailed one of the big reasons why. Klay Thompson will be in year two coming off two major injuries. Look, they lost GP2. That hurts. They lost Otto Porter. That hurts. But all those young guys, that's why you get those guys. And Jalen didn't even mention Moses Moody. They are loaded with young talent. Let's see what those guys can do. They'll be better. And Steph, Joe Lacob is dead on. That guy is going to age like fine, chilled red wine.
I heard that conversation about red wine, and I like regular red wine and sangria. I just started drinking wine when I got mature and I turned 40. But let me just say this about the Golden State Warriors. And you're right, Zach. The one thing about Steph Curry is now they get to manage his minutes during the regular season. Hey, Greeny, like LeBron is going to be up there like carrying the Lakers and playing heavy minutes to now fight for a playoff seeding. Steph Curry can be an idol a lot of times during the regular season based on the depth that they built out. So he's going to be fresher actually going into the playoffs. They get a chance to manage him.
When people ask me why I love Jalen so much, I just point to that last 30 seconds. He just described to you when he started drinking red wine, how he likes it, and then said, but let me say this about Steph Curry. That, my friends, is the essence of the great Jalen Rose. Guys, you're the best. Jalen, thank
you. We'll check in later.
Zach,
love you, guys.
Thanks for getting up. You're the best. All right, we continue. We'll get Orlovsky back in here. He's feeling super. He will tell you the five quarterbacks who most desperately need to win a Super Bowl this year. But first, Orlovsky, I got the heat on you here. This is from Hembo. Who is the all-time leader in touchdown passes among quarterbacks who never won a Super Bowl? That's the question. The answer is coming up next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
After a couple of years of Aaron Rodgers drama, he is still the Packers QB, but he doesn't have his favorite target to throw to anymore. How will he overcome the loss of Davante Adams? Do the Packers have a plan, or is it a beautiful mystery? We search for answers as we travel around NFL training camps on Get Up.
All right, and with that, it is time for Sneaky Hembo. He's got Orlovsky in his sights, and here we go. Dan, who's the all-time leader in touchdown passes amongst quarterbacks who never win a Super Bowl?
My mind goes to two names, and immediately went to Dan Marino, but then I thought, don't be dumb. That's the obvious answer Hembo wants you to say. So then it went to Matt Ryan, but then I was like, Hembo's trying to be too cute. I think the obvious answer is the right one, Dan Marino.
Oh, wow. You had the right thinking, but it was not him. It was Philip Rivers. It's Rivers who edged Marino at the very end. Philip Rivers, 421. And Dan Marino, 420. So he beat him out by one touchdown pass. By the way, Matt Ryan is third on the list and still could surpass Marino and Rivers. I suppose he also could still theoretically win the Super Bowl. So he may not apply to this. One way or another, that is a win for Hembo, and there'll be no living with him. In the meantime, it is Madden Ratings Reveal Week all across the network. And every day on Get Up, we're revealing a member of the coveted Madden 99 Club. And this year, the next member is defensive end Miles Garrett of the Browns. What can you say? He's awesome. The former first overall pick becoming the first official Browns player in history to start the season in the 99 Club, and you see just how meaningful this is to these players. In the meantime, speaking of ratings, the Madden Top 10 wide receiver ratings were released yesterday as well, and I'm just going to cut to the chase, i.e. the Ja'Marr Chase. He's not listed amongst the top 10, and he was not happy about it. He posted, "I'm going to keep working, extra motivation." And Tom Brady, by the way, saw that and responded, "Don't sweat it. Madden didn't even put me in the game my second year." It is worth pointing out that the currency of Madden amongst these players in the NFL is extremely important. So as a football talking topic, Booger, what is your reaction to Ja'Marr Chase not being one of the top 10 receivers in the NFL?
Well, Greeny, any list that has the top 10 receivers that doesn't include Ja'Marr Chase is a dumb list. I'm going to just say that first and foremost. I think he went out and he proved last year that not only is he a top 10 wide receiver, Greeny, he might be top five already. And everyone's going to say, okay, but I need to see him do it twice. Okay, guess what? Tune in this season and barring injury, he's going to show you that he's a top five wide receiver. Beyond that, Greeny, there's really nothing else I can say about it. It's just a dumb list. I mean, the guy proved it on the field last year. There's nothing more to say.
Yeah, what does he need to do? Diana Rossini, what does the young man need to do?
Yeah, this blew me away. We know why Cincinnati Bengals team was so good in the Super Bowl this year, and a lot of it fell on the shoulders of Ja'Marr Chase. Just think about this, Greeny. He's had more 200-yard receiving games than Randy Moss did his entire career. And we're just talking about a rookie season. He was rookie offensive player of the year. I don't know what else he has to do, but here's my favorite part about this whole thing. I loved his response to it. Kind of like, you know what? I'll just use it as motivation. I would like to see a more motivated Ja'Marr Chase after what we just saw last year.
Yeah, right? I mean, that's what the response you want to hear from the kid, right, Dan?
Yeah, absolutely. I have no questions about the type of person he is. I think the list is dumb like Booger. I want to put this in context for everybody, okay, to understand how dumb this is in respect to Madden. There's two names that he has that are in the top 10 that should be replaced with Ja'Marr Chase's name. I like these players. I love Terry McLaurin. Terry McLaurin's best season is like 87 catches for 1,000 yards. His last 2 years, he has 9 touchdowns. Ja'Marr Chase last year went 81, 1,455 yards, and 13 touchdowns. He's got to be in there over Terry McLaurin, who I love. And he also has to be in there over Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper hasn't had a 10-touchdown season, let alone 13. Amari hasn't had a 1,200-yard season, let alone 1,400-plus yards. And he's only had more than 81 catches, I think, twice. Ja'Marr's rookie season was better than both those guys have ever put up. And that's in a ton of respect for them.
Mm-hmm.
He has arguably the greatest rookie season ever, certainly in the modern era. So just out of the respect for their performance, he needs to be in that top 10.
And he was unbelievable in the playoffs, too, which has to count for something as we go forward. And by the way, as I remind you that this is Madden Reveal Week and you're going to be seeing these reveals all week long, I also remind you that, you know, we got players on our program here. And later this morning, the First Take crew is going to debate the top two edge rushers. SportsCenter at noon will have the top 10 edge rushers revealed. Madden Ratings Week continues on ESPN all week long. But I will remind everyone that, you know, our players were once on the Madden game here. And so let's take a look at what this looked like when Dan Orlovsky in particular was on the game. Take a look. Dan, what did they do to your face? I mean, that's Dan. You see at the top, that's D. Wood. He looks like D. Wood. You see Ryan Clark, he looks like R.C.
That's
and then
tough.
Dan Orlovsky, was a picture of you not handy? What happened here?
Yeah, I don't know if that graphically was updated with the proper software. That's a tough look. I've got some tough looks.
Dan's
tough
taking
look
a beating today.
We're blaming software.
We are beating you up, Dan.
That is not exactly the way that was intended to look. In the meantime, a reminder, we got soccer on ESPN2 coming your way tomorrow night. The two-time defending Premier League champs, Manchester City, beginning a two-game preseason U.S. tour with a match against Mexican football power club America. The match gets underway 9 Eastern on ESPN2. All right, First Take in the bullpen. They're getting ready to go. Should the Lakers run it back with their big three? Molly, Big Perk, Chris Mad Dog Russo in the house. They're 10 minutes away here on ESPN. I do not miss Steph Curry hosting the 30th annual ESPYs tomorrow night from L.A., 8 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. All right, we have saved the best for last this morning. Orlovsky has a list of the top 5 quarterbacks that need to win the Super Bowl. Dan, take it away.
Greeny, we'll start at 5 and we'll go to the city of sin. Derek Carr, Las Vegas Raiders. Do you know that Derek Carr has 4 straight 4,000-yard seasons? He also has 3 of the bests in the NFL on his offense. He's got the best receiver in Davante Adams. He's probably got the best slot receiver in Hunter Renfro. And he has the best or one of the best pass-catching tight ends in Darren Waller. It is time to put it all together to have that 5,000-yard season and to go take this team deep into the playoffs and to go win a Super Bowl. You're a good enough player, but you got to get it done. I'll go to 4 and Trey Lance for the San Francisco 49ers. 3 first-round picks and a 3rd-round pick. This is a football team in San Francisco that has gone to the NFC title game 2 of the last 3 years, 1 time a Super Bowl, and they said the quarterback that took us, you ain't good enough anymore. We need a quarterback that's going to take this top 10 defense, top 10 offense, best offenses mind-wise with Kyle Shanahan in football, and finally get it done. Go be what Ben Roethlisberger was for the Steelers, that Super Bowl winning quarterback. 3, Lamar Jackson. I love Lamar. In 4 seasons, he's got 49 starts, so basically 3 seasons of starts. He's won 37 games. He's part of one of the most stable organizations in football that consistently drafts as good as anybody. His talent is undeniable, but he's cheap still and ain't gonna be cheap much longer. The 1 reason I want him to win it, or he needs to win it, shut everybody up. Shut all these haters up who say you can't win with that style of football or that style of quarterback when it matters the most. I think he's good enough, but he's gotta go prove me right. 2, Dak Prescott, 3rd most expensive quarterback in football. And this is where he might be trending. The way the Cowboys have for 25 years. Good, but not good enough. Underwhelming, always disappointing. And I said it before, and I'll use Charles Barkley's kind of example. You gotta be the bus driver. Go be the reason your team Super Bowl, because until that happens, the questions are gonna be, 1 is Josh Allen. I absolutely adore Josh Allen as a player. He's in the conversation right now for best in the league at his position. But he's on the team that has the best roster and Super Bowl expectations. This team is good enough with great quarterback play to go win a Super Bowl. And it's gonna be hard to keep this team together a long time. Don't become Jim Kelly, or don't become Dan Marino, the great quarterback that couldn't get it done. Josh Allen's under the most pressure to go win a Super Bowl this year.
I like the list. Again, you see it on your screen there. Carr, Lance, for different reasons, Lamar, Dak Prescott, and Josh Allen. Booger McFarland, quick reaction.
Well, Green, I think the list is a really good list. You can be subjective based on the spots you put guys in. For me, I would put Dak and Lamar at the top, and here's why, Greeny. I just think when you look at that list, think about the quarterbacks that we have. I mean, forget about the team. Think about the quarterbacks that we have the biggest question marks about who are playing the position. Like, we all know that Josh Allen's a superstar. So, yeah, the team may change, but Josh Allen, we don't question whether or not he can get it done. But there are questions about Dak. Dan mentioned, there are questions about Lamar. Trey Lance, we don't know exactly what he's going to do. I just think overall, Dak and Lamar, those two, we don't question whether or not they're great. We question whether or not they can get the job done at their position. And to me, that's different than Josh Allen.
Absolutely. And then finally, yeah. Diana, I want to give you the final minute here to give your read, if you can, on these two photos. I'm going to put them up as a split screen. Again, this is Dan Orlovsky's. That's not blurry on purpose. We didn't do that. That was his Madden image as a player, and this is the actual Dan. Yeah. Diana, your reaction.
Yeah, the computer operator was obviously having his wine chilled with ice there. Was maybe a little drunk when he put that together there and couldn't get it. Couldn't really nail that handsome face that is Dan Orlovsky. So, yeah, I don't understand why they did that to him. In fact, I think Madden needs to reboot and perhaps give Dan. They should put Dan in the game at this point. Make him an analyst there to break down some of the plays. So
I think that
Dan,
is absolutely fair.
You
guys,
will.
Awesome morning. Thank you for getting up with us. Someone unfreeze Orlovsky. We'll see you tomorrow. First Take starts now.